shadow of Fu Manchu. Based on the stories by Sax Roma. Antique dealer shop where Dr. Petrie believes Yassine Karame, Nayland Smith, and the doctor are trapped by Fu Manchu. Handcuffed to iron rings in the wall of Dr. Fu's laboratory, for which the antique shop is a blind, they are released by Karame during Fu Manchu's absence. As Manchu and his dacoits return and enter the laboratory, Smith and Dr. Petrie swing across the street at the end of a rope to a window in the building opposite. Leaving the building by a rear door, they find themselves in a high-walled court. Preceded by the wailing cry of the dacoit, yellow forms rush toward them from the house.
The wall, Petrie, run for your life.
We can't make it, David. It's too high.
We must make it. Hurry.
Well, they'll have us before we...
Here, quick, on my shoulders. Pull off your coat. Hold on to one end and let it down to me. Hurry, man.
All right, here you are. Catch hold.
Hold fast.
All right. Quick, they're right behind you.
Down, Petrie. On the other side, quick.
There's a door across the court.
Oh, thank heaven it was unlocked. This corridor should lead us to a street door. Come on.
Jove, that was close, Nayland. Another second at that wall and Hassan would have had you.
Wait. I'll see if the coast's clear. All right. Come on. Our first job is to get in touch with Weymouth. He must raid that place at once.
Oh, taxi! Here!
Number 15, Baker Street, driver.
Well, Smith, we raided the place in less than an hour after your call and found our birds flown.
You found nothing at all?
Oh, the stock of Nishiko Incorporated was intact, but upstairs, nothing. Instruments, drugs, books, and the things you described, everything gone, and not a human being in the place. Even the rope swing you escaped by was gone.
And no clue of Fu Manchu?
Not the ghost of one. The man's as elusive as one of his dacoits. He and his entire group seem to have vanished into thin air.
Hmm. And this business you're engaged in now, this Gables case, how does it enter your province?
Well, the house is called the Gables. But I knew from the first it was a wild goose chase.
Oh, how so?
Because I was there 6 months ago and knew what to expect. It's supposed to be haunted, ghosts and all that.
Oh, I didn't know that cleaning up haunted houses came within the jurisdiction of the Yard.
In the ordinary way, it doesn't. But a sudden death is always a bit suspicious.
Sudden death? You mean the ghost has killed someone?
Well, I'll explain. This dead end with not the shadow of a clue to the whereabouts of Fu Manchu is beginning to get on my nerves.
And mine.
Well, after the raid on the Museum Street place, I volunteered to run up to Hampstead and look into this Gables matter.
And you found what?
A queer business, more in the Psychical Research Society's line than mine. Still, if there were no such person as Fu Manchu, it might interest you and you, Dr. Petrie. because it illustrates the fact that, given the right subject, death can be brought about without any elaborate mechanism such as our Oriental friend uses.
Very interesting. Go on.
Well, two people have died at the Gables within the last 6 months. Two men, both in good health, have died without anyone laying a finger on them. They weren't poisoned or bitten by snakes or strangled, nothing like that.
Well, sounds as though Fu Manchu could learn something from the Gables.
Well, every other case seems stale alongside the Fu Manchu business. But when the Gables came on the books of the Yard the second time, I began to wonder.
Wonder? What about?
I thought there might be some tangible clue, some link connecting the two victims. Robbery, revenge, some motive. I hoped to find evidence of a human agency at work, but I was disappointed.
It's really a legitimate case of a haunted house, then?
Yes. We run across them occasionally where there seems to be something harmful to human life, but something you cannot arrest.
Oh, I suppose so. There are historic instances such as Glamis Castle and Spedlin's Tower in Scotland, the Grey Lady of Raynham Hall and so on. But I've never come in personal contact with such a case.
No, nor I.
If I did, I'd feel humiliated to have to confess that there was any agency which could produce the physical results of death, but which was immune from physical retaliation. But tell me about the Gables.
Well, I'll have to admit it's an uncanny house. It was built for a wealthy Quaker family in 1870. They lived there for many years. Then it was sold to a man named Madison. He died there 6 months ago.
Madison? Who was he? Where was he from?
He was a retired tea planter from Colombo.
Ceylon, eh?
Yes, a link with the East, Doctor, if that's what you mean. And it was that which interested me at the time, but there was no connection between Madison and Fu Manchu. Of that, I'm certain.
How did Madison die?
He died in his chair one evening in the library. His household consisted of a cook, a housemaid, and a man. He was a bachelor. And the cook and the maid resigned because they said the house was haunted.
In what way?
Well, they told me absurd tales about dark figures wandering through the corridors and bending over them in bed at night. Their chief trouble was the continuous ringing of bells. The man Stevens confirmed it.
How did they describe the ringing?
Oh, sort of jangling, sometimes near the ceiling and again under the floor, like the shaking of small silver bells.
Well, this Gables thing seems to resemble the cases of astral bells, such as we sometimes hear of in India.
Yes, it was Stevens who found his master. Madison was sitting bolt upright in his chair with a look of horror on his face. A doctor found no trace of violence and pronounced death induced by fright.
Anything else?
Only this. Stevens himself swore to the fact that he had seen one of these apparitions before, which took form of a sort of luminous hand clutching a curved knife.
Luminous hand?
Well, anyway, I examined the Gables pretty closely. Spent a night in the empty house with another Scotland Yard man. We saw nothing, but we heard the bells.
What? You can swear to that?
I can. Well, following the death of Madison, the place was empty again until a short time back. A French gentleman leased it. He came a week ago. Last Friday night at midnight, his servant ran into a neighboring house screaming, "The fiery hand!"
And the French gentleman?
Was found dead in the drive, sitting bolt upright near the steps just outside the hall door. And he had the same look of horror on his face.
Cat. Well, gentlemen, this is interesting. I'm going to rent that house at once. This is the first time, Petrie, I've used a disguise since the incident of the false pigtail.
And what possible reason can there be for a disguise tonight?
Every reason, old chap. Now, I've leased the place in the name of Professor Maxton. You and my very good friend, Mr. Pierce.
But why should you interest yourself in the Gables?
Does no explanation occur to you, Petrie?
None, but since you've assured me that my presence is necessary to your safety, well, I'm here.
I'll explain presently, old chap, if an explanation is necessary after tonight. Oh, here we are. I'll unlock the gate. Come along.
Well, where is the house?
Up the drive, behind those trees. There should be refreshments and a fire in the library if the charwoman has followed instructions.
What an eerie place.
Mm.
Looks haunted even from the outside.
Ideally located for its purpose. No other houses up the road until you reach the heath. Oh, good. There's a light in the hall. Professor Maxton, you are Pierce.
Oh, come in, Pierce, come in. We'll have
have a whiskey and soda in the library, then we'll look around.
Ah, excellent, Professor. Oh, cheery fire, refreshments. I see one of your bags has already arrived.
Books, Pierce, books. Mm-hmm. Come, draw up your chair. Those sandwiches look interesting. Do you know that if...
By Jove, listen.
The spirits waste no time, Petrie. My word. My dear Pierce, did you hear the ringing of bells?
Distinctly, Professor, distinctly. Yes.
Well, finish your drink, old chap. I'm going to have a look. Hand me that bag and don't leave the room until I come back. Nothing, Pierce. But I believe the house is haunted. However, no ghost ever frightened me. Now, come on, we'll look at our rooms. We'll have the lights on as we go. By Jove, I'm afraid we'll never get any servants to stay here. Let's have a look at these bedrooms.
Ah, well and comfortably furnished, Professor.
Yes, very comfortable. The house seems ideal, Pierce, for our purpose.
And it may be, but the place has a cold, repellent feel about it, Nealon. Something evil seems to hover over these bedrooms.
Steady, old man. We'll soon find out.
Great Scott, what was that?
Very strange, Pierce. I think we'd better spend the night in a hotel. Come on, let's go back to the library.
Yes, that's a very good suggestion, Professor. I should much prefer to examine the house in daylight.
After all, there may be a natural explanation for what we've heard. We haven't actually seen anything. It might even be possible to get used to that ringing and wailing after time.
But I feel...
Very well, Pierce. I see you don't share my views. But for my part, I shall return tomorrow and devote further attention to this phenomenon.
The bag of books, Professor, we're leaving them?
No, I'll take the bag with me. Now, if you're ready.
Oh, quite ready, Professor, I can assure you.
I'll put out the light here, then. Go on to the front door, Pierce. I'll follow as soon as I turn out the hall light. We can see our way well enough without light. Good heavens, Petrie. Look, directly behind you.
Good Lord! The fiery hand!
Shadow of Fu Manchu.